All right, well, we'll start. This is an essay and term paper workshop. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is management, a smart plan for managing your time, because procrastination is very often part of the problem when it comes to essays and term papers. So start ahead and plan to stay ahead. That means go to class prepared. Manage your time, use your agenda, and mark in your assignments. So for your essays, for term papers, put in the due dates, but give yourself an internal deadline, a few days before the absolute due date, so that you are proactive with your deadlines. Be resourceful about using your learning style effectively. And talk about your essay in a networking group. So there are some assumptions in this SMART plan. One of them is the very last one, that you're part of a networking group. It helps to talk about what we're learning and what we think about what we're learning. That kind of composing in speech is an important part of the process. So when it comes to writing, it gives you a head start. And from my point of view, there are three very important elements in an essay or a term paper. The first is the subject. And here you need to take your assignment and refine it. You can't write about the whole world in heaven. You can't have a floodlight. You need to ramp down what you're writing about so that you are writing deeply about a more narrowed subject. And I'm going to give you a very simplistic example. In a 20th century North American literature class, you might have a list of authors that are on the curriculum. And if I were looking at the list, the name Hemingway would leap out at me. And so if I were asked to choose an author from the course list, I would probably choose Hemingway. And then I would have to decide what about Hemingway makes his work unique for me. What I like is his machismo philosophy, the macho, and how it's reflected in the attitude toward death of his characters. So I'm following my own interest in determining my subject. Now, you have to deal with this according to the topics that you're given, the subject matter. But when you have an assignment, do some free writing. Begin with the assignment and write about what you know, what you think, what you feel. Spend 20 minutes to half an hour writing down what you know. If you've been following the course, you will not come up empty. And some prompts are the journalistic questions. The who, what, where, why, when, how much. Those will get you started. But don't let yourself be blocked by sentence structure, grammar, punctuation. You're writing for yourself. So try to get a flow of ideas from your thoughts to the paper. And when you've spent some time writing out what you think, go back and look at what you've written and underline anything that gives you a little jolt, that piques your interest. Because we want a subject that you have some engagement with, something that interests you. Then we need to look for a purpose. What is your purpose? Well, you're looking at conveying information that you're going to find and put together. So your purpose is to inform, but in refining your purpose, you determine what it is you want to inform about. And then we look at the audience. And from my experience, this is where very often you skip the third corner. There needs to be a logical readership for your paper in addition to whoever is going to evaluate it. So look at the academic journals in the discipline. And for my paper on Hemingway, I would look for a journal on 20th century North American literature, or maybe a journal that focuses on Hemingway. And I would write my paper for the readership of that journal. So I have readers to inform. Even if I never send the paper to the journal, I still have an audience in mind. And now we need a production plan. So, just backtracking a little bit, your assignment. Read it carefully. Make sure that you understand the criteria and the scope that is expected in your paper. If you're not clear, ask questions. Also know what academic style you're expected to use. Academic styles are ways of presenting your work and your references. So some examples are MLA, Modern Language Association style, APA, American Psychological Association style, BCE, Chicago, Turabian, which is a combination of styles. These are usually summarized in a grammar handbook. You may also find summaries in the library, on the library website, and some of the style guides with respect to electronic information are presented on the websites. For example, MLA.org has a website in which they present the frequently asked questions, so keeping you up to date on how to report electronic data. Free write on what you know about the topic. That's what I was talking about earlier. Narrow your focus to define a narrow subject. So we haven't talked about going to the library to read anything or reading anything online yet. We're working with what you already know. Create a purpose statement. What do you want to tell your readers? I want to tell you what? And fill in the answer to that question. That's the beginning of a purpose statement. And then here's another trick. If you turn that statement into a question and then begin answering the question for yourself, you can begin an hypothesis. And hypothesis is an idea that you're going to test in your written essay or term paper. So you're going to argue to your idea. You're going to present arguments for it. And thesis is simply a short form of hypothesis. So your thesis statement is what you are going to argue in your essay. Your preliminary research is to determine how appropriate your subject and your purpose is. Look for major references to support your argument. Some of those may be in your course materials. Some of them may be in the library on the website, the suggested references in a subject area. But keep track of all of the references that you consult in your research, because you're going to have to provide that information in your citations. And one of the advantages that you have as a McGill student is that you're able to download free copies of reference-keeping software. EndNote and Reference Manager are both available to you as McGill students, and those are expensive programs. If you aren't already using them, I suggest that you search for free downloads on the McGill homepage. You'll be taken to the place on the website where you can download those programs. You can have them on your computer. But you need to do a little learning about how to use them. They will enable you to put your reference material in the format in which you need to present it. So each department, each faculty requires different citation styles. So find out what that is and then prepare yourself to present your material in that way from the beginning so that you don't have to go back and research your research. Make a plan. Put your subject, your hypothesis or your purpose statement, your main arguments, important references that you think will support your arguments, and the target audience that you feel is the appropriate audience for your paper. And as I said, you can use a periodical journal in your discipline as an appropriate audience. Now you want an insurance plan. So go to your professor's office hours. Take your plan to get approval. And pay close attention to any suggestions that you get during that interview. So once you have approval and any ideas, your prof may say, you know, a particular reference that you have in your list of references is not a good one, and you may be given a better reference to use. You may be given some idea about the appropriateness of your thesis. So none of these will happen if you don't make a plan and go for an approval. But once you have approval, you've got a license to write, and you can begin anywhere. Now you're ready to refine your information. You can begin your research and bring together the information in the appropriate documentation style. You can write the body parts of your essay. And I would suggest you write your introduction last. I think one of the obstacles that creates a great deal of block is trying to write a paper top down from the introduction through the arguments to the conclusion. Write your arguments first, then your conclusion, and then the introduction. And the same thing applies in an essay exam. An essay exam requires the same kind of structure as an essay or a term paper that you prepare outside. So you need an introduction, body, paragraphs, and conclusion. And you need a title. You need a title that comes from your essay. So choose a phrase in your introduction or your conclusion that points to the content of your essay, not the title of a text or another person's work. Your proofreading will run effectively if you use the spell and grammar check, but not exclusively. You can still get the correct spelling of the wrong word on a spell check. And I've had arguments with grammar check. So use those as tools. That's what they are. But to proofread definitively, I think you need to read your material out loud. Find somebody who loves you and read it to them. And if they give you looks like they don't understand, then mark that part of your paper because it needs to be clear. So fix it, make it clear, Don't get someone else to do it. You need to undertake that yourself. You need to become capable of repairing your own writing. A useful tool for organizing information is visual mapping, a map or a concept map. It is a very quick way of creating an outline as you're preparing for an essay or a term paper assignment, or in an essay exam when you're plotting information on a question. So, a procedure for creating a mapping is to write the topic in the center of your paper, put the main ideas in bubbles around that topic, and connect them with lines to the main idea. Add major details to support the main ideas and any minor details. So you're really making a picture of your plan. And it's a flexible one. You can move things around. You can number the order of your arguments. You can combine arguments. You can eliminate some, you can add some. Oh, we'll just go back here. Work with this a little longer. This is a tool that you need to practice. And one of the things that you can do to your benefit immediately is to map your course description. Your prof has created a written description of your course. Make a picture of it. Map it to see what it looks like. And before the end of your course and your final exam, map it again. You might find a difference in the way it looks. And I'm going to give you just a very simple mapping exercise here. Now, where are we? Okay. So take out a pencil and a piece of paper. And make a map of these words. These are all breathing animals, and what I'd like you to do is create categories for them. Categorize them. And make a map of them. And I'm not going to give you very long to do this. Okay, now take a look at someone else's map and see how it differs from yours. All right, the point here is that there probably are differences. This is what I'm showing you is one example of a way of categorizing this list of breathing creatures. But there's some benefit in talking about it. There's some benefit in networking because you see how someone else organizes the same information. But this mapping concept is a tool that you can practice. And there are benefits in doing this because it allows you to structure information. And that's what you're doing when you're writing an essay or a term paper. And that's what you're doing when you're preparing for exams. So map your information. Get used to using this tool because in an essay exam, your capacity to map the information that you have on your choices of essay topics allows you to transfer information from retrieval into short-term memory onto paper. And you can, usually you're given a choice of questions. Let's say you have five. So map what you have for those five questions. It's a quick exercise if you've practiced it. It didn't take you long to map this information. And then look at which questions you feel you can do the best work with. You've already got the beginning of a plan, an outline. And use that outline to guide your writing of the essay on the exam. And the timing, of course, will be determined by the marks allocated. So, I mean, that's a very simple strategy. In an exam, you determine the time for a question by the marks allocated. But practice this. And as you're doing your mapping as a review strategy for information, see yourself remembering that information in the exam when you're writing an essay exam. And don't forget to give the essay in an essay exam the same structure as your essay or term paper. Title, introduction, body, arguments, and conclusion. And you don't have to write them in that order. Now, do you have questions? Close this. Yes.
What do you mean by map the course description?
What do I mean by mapping the course description? Make a picture of the course. Put the title of the course in the center of the page. Take the keywords from that title and put them around the title. And then look at the description that is given for those keywords in the course description so that you get an idea of what scope and content your professor has in mind for the course. That way it keeps you in the plan. And I suggest you do that again before your final exam because it may change. And it just gives you that image. We have a visual side to our capacity to remember. So you're engaging that visual side when you make a picture of the information. Another question.
You talked about a program that can be two programs. programs that can be downloaded. One
yes.
is EndNote.
EndNote.
And the other one is...
The two free programs that you can download are EndNote and Reference Manager. And those are really... They're expensive programs if you buy them. But they do need a little bit of setup. So don't wait until the last minute. And I assume that you've all done a library tour and you're up to speed on how to use the resources of the library, online and in the library. If you haven't done that, go and make yourself acquainted with what's available. It's hard for people to be helpful when you're in panic mode. So go before you're in panic mode. And when you have an essay assignment, a term paper assignment, use that production plan and begin immediately so that you are moving forward always. Get approval for your plan. That's the security. It's like an insurance policy. Then you know what you need to do. Now, what other questions do you have? Yes?
Number six, you mentioned making a plan. So pick the subject, the hypothesis, and then purpose statement.
Yes.
How do you define hypothesis?
Well, the hypothesis is the idea that you have to present to your readers. It's what you want to tell them, what you want them to know after reading your paper. And it may be simply information. It may be to change the way they look at an issue or a question. It may be to change procedures, the way they do things as a result of your analysis of several different procedures. Your purpose in writing the paper. Why are you writing this paper? Not just because someone's assigned it. You have to go beyond that. So you also need to consider what your audience knows, what they already know. For example, in my simplistic example of the Hemingway paper, if I were writing it for the readers of a journal on Hemingway's writing, I wouldn't have to summarize the novels because I could be confident that the readers would know those novels. So I need to refer to what I'm going to deal with, but I don't have to do all that background. Okay. So your purpose is, what is it you want your readers to get from your paper?
So this there's not necessarily a difference between hypothesis and the purpose.
No. They're part of different ways of talking about the same thing. Thesis, purpose statement, hypothesis. Very, very similar things. It's what you want to accomplish in your paper. And you had a question.
Yes. When it comes to going back and looking at what other people have written about your topic, how do you paraphrase if you want to include some things that they've written about it and you want to elaborate on it?
Okay, the question is, how do you paraphrase other resources? I would look for more than one writer in that area and look at where the agreement is, where the differences are, and talk about that. It's powerful to have two or three references that agree with your idea and put it forward that way rather than doing a strict paraphrasing of what they've written. And so this goes back to, what is it that you want your readers to get from your paper? What is it you want to present? So you're looking for arguments for your presentation to make your point, to make it strongly. So start with your point, with your argument, and look for support for that. Reading the academic journals will help you to see how more than one point of view is presented. Are there any other questions? Yes.
Yeah. I understand that different people have different ways of writing essays, different orders as to introduction, closing paragraph. And from the lecture you just mentioned about writing the introduction last, as you're more experienced in writing essays, like, do you have any suggestions as to the orders about which
Okay, the question has to do with the order in which you write the essay. Well, your introduction is the first paragraph or the first paragraphs, the first section that your reader reads. But it's the most difficult one to write first. So that's why I talked about writing it last, after you've written your other parts. But it's the orientation of the reader to your paper. So it's harder to write an orientation to something you haven't written yet. That's why I suggest you write it last. Put it at the front, but write it after you've written the other parts. Does that answer your question?
What about for conclusion and body?
The conclusion and body paragraphs you can write at any time. I think you'll find your own rhythm with them. My suggestion is that you write the introduction after you've written those. Does that address your question? Is there another question? Yes. Does writing essays get easier with practice? The best way to learn to write essays is to write essays. I think that addresses it. Yes. And talking about what you want to write about is a helpful way of moving into it. Again, a network group of other students in your courses and intelligent people who love you are good ways of getting that talk, because we do express ourselves in speech. And then we can, well, I think it was H.L. Mencken who said, how do I know what I think until I hear what I say? So it's a way of moving into our ideation and our expression of it. Your question.
To come back to the introduction, yes, it is the orientation to the paper, and should do it last. But you were talking about a paragraph or seven paragraphs. Some of my colleagues have divided the introduction in different, like a sub-introduction.
Okay.
Can you talk about
that? Yes. The question is, what is the introduction comprised?
Yeah.
The complexity of your introduction will be determined by the complexity of your paper. You know, if you go back to high school, the five-paragraph essay is going to have a one-paragraph introduction. That's the sort of basic model. But that's not the definitive approach. You can have more than one paragraph of an introduction. It can be a section. If you look, for example, in the theses that are housed in the library, master's and PhD theses, for example, journal articles that are complex, that are presentations of research, you will find that introductions can be complex. They can be more detailed. But the introduction still is presenting the content and the scope of your paper for a reader. Ooh, I think that's something I can't be definitive about. I think it's going to depend on the subject matter. It may be something to ask about when you go for approval for your plan.
So it's not a no.
No, it's not a no, and it's not a yes. Yes.
Plan seems to me that it would take a lot of time. how, like, what's your projected timeline for an essay?
For an essay, for creating an essay, the projected, your question is how much time should it take to plan an essay or to write it?
Everything included.
All right. Well, quite simply, you have a deadline. And you have to work back from that deadline. So give yourself an earlier deadline just in case something goes wrong. But then you have to use your agenda to manage your time. You know yourself probably best. Are you a procrastinator? Then I would suggest as soon as you get an assignment, you begin the production plan. You begin free writing about what you know about the subject and begin to probe for your own interests. And I really encourage you to find something in the subject that grabs you. Because it's much easier to be engaged in the research and the writing of something that interests you. Sometimes you have to fake it. Yes?
What if the topic that interests you has not been covered in class yet?
What if the topic that interests you has not been covered? Is there a way to move it into the assignment that you're given? Yes.
And we haven't covered mythography yet, but I'm already starting to read the text. But I don't know how much of it I will get and how much of the teacher's viewpoint I will see before we actually go over it.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand your question. Your question is there's an area in the course content that you are interested in writing your term paper on, but it's not yet been addressed in the course, and you're wondering how much you might get from the lectures that would assist your writing of the paper. Well, since you already have an interest, I would suggest that you follow that interest and begin your planning. But nothing is final until it's final. You have a deadline for the term paper. You can move things into that paper quite readily. Make your plan and ask for approval for it. Again, you may get a heads up about an area that you need to explore. You won't lose anything by doing that advanced planning. And it leaves you ready then to know what you might move into your paper and what you've already addressed. And you might find a different take on the subject. Yes.
If the essay has if you're given a really limited amount of time to write the essay, what's the general format as to like how many broad paragraphs you need and like?
Okay.
I mean, it all depends, but I'm a science student, so I haven't written any essays yet, but I'm just curious as to the general.
Okay, and your question is, if you're given an essay assignment, what is the scope of that assignment? Usually you're given direction as to the scope. If you're not, it's a fair question to ask. Is it 1,500 words, 2,500 words? What kind of research are you expected to do? How narrow can you be? How deep do you go? There are questions you can ask, and expect to be given answers, and what criteria will be used to evaluate your paper.
And say if the essay is limited to like 30 minutes of time writing the essay.
You're saying, for example, in an essay exam, you might have 30 minutes. Then the expectation is that you are going to address the question as comprehensively as you can in that time in an essay constructed to address that question.
So would it be like the usual 5 paragraph?
That's a good plan. He's asking, would a 5 paragraph essay be a good approach? I think so. introduction, some body, arguments, and your conclusion. You'll soon know whether that's acceptable or not. But yes, I would say so in 30 minutes. And don't forget to make your plan to use that mapping strategy that you become familiar with to create your outline. And in an essay exam, if your time frame gets a little convoluted, you still have something of a paper trail to leave. You can point to your outline, your map. It's a very flexible tool. Yes?
Not a question, it's more of a comment, because I am in English, and when I have an essay exam to write, what I generally tend to do is in pencil on the side of the page or something, I'll say introduction, colon, thesis, and then I say body paragraph one, meaning just section one, and then I'll say what my main point is, and maybe some like ideas of what I want to write in there.
So what you're saying is you make an outline on the unlined left side of the exam booklet. Yes, and you're practiced in creating an outline in that schematic form. And I'm suggesting that there's another way to do it. There is another tool that you can use, the concept map. Yeah, because it guides your writing. You don't have to recreate that plan as you're writing the essay in the essay exam. So you're more efficient. Practice writing essays. Use them as review strategies. Give yourself essay topics to write. And check with your TA if you have a group. Look at the text to see study questions, examples of topics, and use that as part of your review strategy so that you become proficient at creating essays. And good luck.